Bibles to John chapter 11, the Gospel of John chapter 11. Probably very familiar scriptures to all of us. We're going to talk about possibly two Lazarus characters today. Both of them, I believe, are real characters in the Bible. But there's a thought that the Lord laid upon our heart last week, and so we want to... I thought last week I was going to get to preach it, and I didn't get to preach it. We were not here. So the Lord has laid it upon our heart for this morning, and so I would beg that you'd pray for us, that we would deliver it in a way that would be pleasing unto Him. John chapter 11. And it says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall not die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary's sister secretly, saying, The Master is come, and he calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly, and she came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then Jesus, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. I'm going to stop reading right there for just a few moments. If we could take for a lesson text this morning, it would be all the way back in the 4th verse. And it said, Jesus heard that, and he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Our lesson title this morning would be Changing the Perspective. Changing the Perspective. Now you may ask what in the world that means. I want to kind of set the stage for you just briefly this morning about what has taken place here. We have all read about Mary and Martha. We've read about Lazarus. And we know that Lazarus and Mary and Martha, they were all friends. We know that they were from the town of Bethany, and at this time Jesus was not in Bethany. He had been in Jerusalem, and we know that Jesus, as he is here, as he was talking to his disciples, he said, you know, the last time that we were there, the Jews, they wanted to kill you, or they were about ready to get rid of you for the things that had taken place. We know that there were many miracles that the Lord had performed already. Some of them had been far greater than others. Some were miraculous. I believe all of them are miraculous. But this one here, I guess, is one of those that I have often kind of loved myself. And as I was thinking about this week, the thought that the Lord laid upon our heart, changing the perspective, I was thinking about what was taking place here in Bethany. Now we know that Lazarus is sick and he's about to die. And Lazarus, or the word gets back to Jesus, and they say, you know, Jesus, your friend Lazarus, he's going to die. Mary and Martha sent word back, and they let Jesus know that Lazarus was on his deathbed and that he should come and see Lazarus. Well, we know that Jesus didn't do that. We know that Jesus tarried for a little while, and he stayed there. In the town that he was in, even after that Lazarus had died. Now, I want all of us to understand something. We all have our own perspective on things. I see things one way and you see things another. And most likely, there's usually one way that we'll all try to connect on together. But as I was thinking about this, you know, I imagine that Mary and Martha, they must have been really upset with Jesus about this. You know, Jesus, our brother Lazarus, whom that you claim that you love, you just let him die, and you didn't so much as even come and check on him. You just let him die. And Lazarus has been in the grave 4 days, and Jesus tells his disciples, "Let's go." And they were talking amongst themselves, and Jesus said, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of the sleep." And the disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he's doing well. Why would you wake him up? Why would you get him back up? Why would you awake him from the sleep?" And as we go on, he says, "Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought it was spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus, he is dead." Now, I told you that our lesson text was from the fourth verse. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Every one of us this morning has had a situation that we did not understand. All of us have. We are faced as human beings with problems and things that we are never going to understand. I guess most common among things that we don't understand is, why do things happen to us? Why are the things that happen always to us? A few weeks ago, I preached a sermon about blaming God or being mad at God. Well, I want all of us to understand something. When we look at our perspective, we are always right. Nobody is ever right but us. We always have the answers. We always know best. We always know the best way to do something. Our perspective is the right perspective. We're not wrong as human beings. We like to think that we know everything. Well, as we were looking at this, the sisters sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest, he is sick." Now, from their perspective, what do you think Jesus should have done? He should have gotten up where he was and went to Lazarus because he's sick. They sent for you, Jesus. So why haven't you been there? Why haven't you arrived already? And then when he gets there, what is their exact words to him? He said, "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." If you had been here like we asked you to be here, our brother would still be alive. Yet here he is. He's been in the grave at least 4 days, and you were nowhere to be found. You were nowhere around. You just left us here, Jesus, with no help. You said that you loved us, and then you leave us here with no guidance, with no comfort, with nothing. What did Jesus say to them? "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now, if we look at this from Mary and Martha's perspective, they had a right to be upset. They were upset because their loved one had died. And we look around us and all of us have had somebody that we love that we've lost. We've all had something in our lives that has happened to us that I'm sure has broken our hearts. That has made us question something about God. We've questioned our salvation, maybe. We've questioned our relationship with God.
And our perspective was is that if God was really God, that He wouldn't let it happen to us. Or if God was really our Savior, if God really loved us, He would always, always, always do the right things for us. Now, I guess what they thought was is if we get Jesus over here, Jesus won't let Lazarus die. Lazarus will be fine if Jesus gets here. Well, Lazarus, Jesus doesn't show up, so they're upset that now Lazarus has died and he's been in the grave, and still Jesus isn't around. What did he tell them? The sickness is not unto death. It is not for him to die, but it is to be an honor and a glory to God. Now, their perspective was is that Jesus had forgotten about them. That Jesus had left them alone in Bethany with no help, with nothing of any substance at all. He had just been distant and away from them. But look at it from Jesus' point of view. He said, "But this is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Change the perspective. Look at it a little bit differently. You see, all of us that are here this morning, I would venture to say we have had a negative outlook on a lot of things in our lives. We have a negative outlook on almost everything. Everything is always bad. I want all of us to understand something. There are some things that even though we don't understand them, they are not for our destruction, but they are for our benefit. They are for our benefit. And we look at them and say, that was a bad thing. That was a test, or that was a trial, and I don't understand it. But guess what? Sometimes God just needs His honor and His glory from things. We fail to remember that all of this is not about us. It's not about you. It's not about this church, but it is about God and His honor and His glory. And God will use things to get honor and glory. Now, God could have went to Lazarus. He could have healed him of his sickness, right? He could have done that. He'd already healed some people in the Bible. He had made blind Bartimaeus to be able to see. He'd raised the man who was lame. He had done many great miracles. Think about what happened here with Lazarus. If Jesus goes there and raises him up while he's sick, well, the miracle isn't nearly as great. What does he tell them about verse 22? "But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God," this was Martha speaking, "God will give it to thee." If you ask for it, Lord, I know that God will bring it. And Jesus said, "Thy brother shall rise again." Now, I want you to understand something. They had heard about a resurrection. There had been some talk about a resurrection. She said, "I know that my brother will live again. I know that." You want to talk about people knowing that they were saved before Jesus goes to the cross? This is a prime example. She says, "I know that my brother's going to live again." I bet you to say that Lazarus had told somebody a testimony about being saved. About him believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and him being saved. Why do I know that? She says, "I know that he's going to live again. I know that. But it doesn't do us any good right now, and I don't understand it." She said, Martha said to him, "I know that he shall rise again at the resurrection at the last day." You've talked about that. We know that he's going to live again. I'm going to sidebar just a moment. When dealing with families that have lost loved ones, they want immediate answers. What am I going to do? I'm going to say the wrong thing to tell them. Well, they'll rise again the last day. They want to understand why it happened then. They want to understand. I'm thankful that my friends and my relatives that have gone on to be with the Lord, that they're going to rise again. But that doesn't help me right now. And I don't understand it. I don't have the answers to those things. What I do have the answers to are what the Lord has given us. Do I believe every case of your family members dying is going to be a Lazarus? No. It's been a long time since anybody's been raised from the dead. Do I believe that's going to take place today? This was a miracle. God was about to show them something. He was about to teach them something. That's why He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." This wasn't about the death, but it was about the miracle. It was about teaching them something. There's a verse of Scripture that says, "Be still and know that I am God." Have you ever seen a bunch of Baptists try to be still? It does not work. It's like we all have to run out in front of God and figure it out on our own. We know best. Let us try, God. We know how to fix it. Sometimes it is good to just stand still and see God work. Let God do the work instead of us trying to do everything on our own. They were trying to figure this out. Why is Lazarus dead? And what's going to happen? Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And Martha's probably standing there, "Lord, I know. I know this. I know that you're the resurrection. I know that you're the life. And I know that he's dead, but he's going to live. I know these things." You know how I know that? What does she say? Jesus asks, he says, "Do you believe this?" He says, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Son of Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And then she went away and she called Mary. And she said, "The Master has come and he's calling for you." And what does Mary do? Does she continue to stay sitting? You see, Martha, when she heard that Jesus was coming, I guess she's like a lot of us, she's ready to go punch his lights out. She got up and she went to him. She didn't sit there waiting on him to get there. She got up and went to Jesus. And I imagine there may have been a little bit of a confrontation. The Bible doesn't say that. I don't necessarily know. But I can just imagine her just being a little heated. "You know, Lord, you said you loved Lazarus and you weren't here." Mary, she just kind of stayed back. It says she sat still in the house. Remember that verse of Scripture? "Be still and know that I am God." It says Jesus was not yet come to the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. It says the Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and she went out and followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Those that were around Mary, she got up and she ran out. And they said, "Oh, well, she's going to the grave to weep or to pray or to be there with Lazarus." It says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, 'Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died.' When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit." It says he was troubled. And he says, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." The longest verse of Scripture in the Bible. Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse of Scripture in the Bible. But I think it has one of the most impactful parts of this entire Scripture lesson. Jesus wept. He saw how heartbroken that they were. I've often said this, and I'm going to say it again. We look at our Savior, Jesus, and we know that He was a human. We know that He was a sinless human. So that means He didn't do the things that you and I do. He was without sin where we are with sin. But you know, Jesus had human emotions. He did have human emotions. How do I know that? It says Jesus wept. Weeping or crying or groaning in the Spirit, those are emotions. Sometimes we look and we say, "Well, Jesus doesn't understand," or "God doesn't understand us. He doesn't understand us at all. He doesn't understand what we're going through." I want you to understand something. God created us, created His Son Jesus, and guess what? He understands all about you and I. He knows about our emotions. He knows about what we're going through. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." They thought he was crying because how much that he loved Lazarus. And no doubt that he did love Lazarus. It says, and some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" What were they doing? They were doubting. They were taunting. They were tempting. And they said, "This man who's made people who were blind to see, surely couldn't he have made this man to live? This is the exact point of why Lazarus had to die." You know what he was about to do? He was about to show them. This was the last straw for a bunch of Jews, though. This was going to be the tipping point. It says, Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. I want to talk about changing a perspective. One of the smallest words, maybe not the smallest, but a small word in the English language carries a great impact. That's the word faith. Think about that. Believing and faith are entwined in one another. In order to be saved, you had to believe and you had to have faith, and they had to combine into one thing. But did you know after we get saved, believing and faith, they're not inseparable? They have to be the exact same thing. Jesus told Martha, he said, do you believe that I am the Son of God, that I am the resurrection, and that I am the life? She said, if you had believed, you would see the glory of God. Change your perspective this morning. Instead of always, always, always looking at things so negatively, look at it from the glory of God. Look at it from His perspective. Jesus was going over here and they were all upset with Him. And that hurt Him. He wanted to be a comfort to them. But what He was about to do was He was about to show that He was the Messiah. He was about to perform one more miracle. It says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. And I know that Thou hearest Me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And then Thou hast spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. You know why Lazarus had to die? Not because Jesus was trying to take revenge on him, or not because he didn't love him. He was trying to show them that he was the one that was sent. And these Jews, they saw this, and guess what? They still didn't believe it. But he said, I am so thankful that Thou hast heard Me, Lord. God, I'm thankful that Thou hast heard Me. I know that You hear Me always, but I'm doing this to show that I am the Son, Your Son. I am doing this to show them that I am real. Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. Can you imagine? I just wish that I could have been standing there to see this take place, this interaction between God the Father and God the Son. As Jesus stands looking up and He says, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. And I'm glad that Thou hearest Me always. But because of these that are around Me, they may believe that Thou hast sent Me. Change your perspective on things. When you look at something, we look at it strictly from our needs, our wants, from our point of view. We fail to look at things from any other way. As I was thinking about Lazarus, you know, some would argue that this was one of those things to try to get Jesus's, get more charges pinned on Him for His time to go to the cross at Calvary. The Romans were looking for anything and everything to get Him to go to the cross. This was probably, it did lead to that. If you look in the verses following this, the plan to kill Jesus ramped up. The decision to go after Him. Well, the claims that He's this one that's been sent. And He's raising people from the dead. He's healing people. We've got to get rid of Him. He was causing a ruckus everywhere that He went. It was a good thing, though. Jesus was doing this to show His superiority, to show how great that he was. As I was thinking about changing perspectives, and I'm going to close here in just a few moments, I was thinking about another Lazarus. Most of us have heard and we've read about the rich man and Lazarus. They're not the same. There are two different Lazarus in the Bible that we read of. This man named Lazarus at the gate, though, he was a poor, poor beggar. Now, what does the world say that happens to Lazarus? Lazarus has nothing, he has no food, and he has to lay at the rich man's gate every single day, just begging for food. Has no home, has no family, he's just here all alone. The world says that Lazarus has nothing. Change the perspective, though. Look at the rich man. The world will look at the rich man. He has this home. Apparently it has a gate. The rich man goes in and out. If he were today, he probably drives a Ferrari and a Lamborghini, goes everywhere he wants to go, has all that he can have. Just a wonderful, wonderful representation of how rich a person can be. And the world looks at the rich man and he says, oh, he has everything. And they envy him. They want what he has. Change the perspective, though. The whole story gets flipped when they die. What does it say about the rich man? It says the rich man died, and he lifted up his eyes in hell. Change the narrative for Lazarus. It says Lazarus died, and wherever did he go? To the bosom of Abraham, or to our father's house. Look at that perspective. Yes, he's being envied now. Nobody wants what the rich man has, but everybody wants what Lazarus has. You just look at the perspective. We look at things from our point of view. I would say, yes, I want everything that the rich man has. Until you actually dig down a little bit deeper. Would I, if I were there with Lazarus, if I was Mary and I was Martha, and you said, well, guess what? Lazarus has to die so that I can teach the world a lesson. They'd say, well, I don't want it to be my brother. You find somebody else. You know why I think Lazarus was chosen? Because the Lord loved him. You know why he was really chosen? Because he was saved and he would be okay. He'd be a great teaching instrument. Now, why was he chosen? I don't know. Why was he the one? Nobody probably has that answer except Jesus and God Himself. I think those reasons, him being saved and him being one that Jesus loved, I think they serve a great respect for why he could have been chosen. But the real reason we don't know, we know that Lazarus was. Again, think about it from that perspective. Had you told Lazarus, you're going to have to die so I can show these Jews that I'm the one that's been sent. If you told me that, I'd be like, I don't think so. You find somebody else. You're not pinning that one on me. But Lazarus has to die so that he can be a witness, so that his death, so his resurrection can be a witness to those Jews that are round about. Again, think of that exchange between Jesus and God as He says, I'm thankful that Thou hast heard me. I'm thankful that You've been with me. God, I'm thankful for that. Look at the perspectives, though. If Lazarus dies and he stays dead, did he lose? No. What did they say? Then said His disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. They thought he was just actually asleep. And the Lord said, no, he is dead. Thomas said, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. We're going to go with him. We're going to be a part of this with him. But you think about that. If Lazarus stays dead, that song says he's a winner either way. Look at the perspective. He was still able to live either way. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Those two perspectives, dead and live. Can you imagine? Two very vastly different things. Dead and alive. Two very different perspectives. I want to ask you a question as we close this message this morning. Lazarus or the rich man? Lazarus or the rich man? If you died today, which perspective would you have? Would you be the one that is looking through the great gulf that's burning in an everlasting hell? Or would you be with Lazarus, both Lazarus, one that says he was in the Abraham's bosom? And Lazarus, while he was raised from the dead here, eventually Lazarus does die. Lazarus is not roaming around somewhere still living. Lazarus has died. And today I believe that both of those men are safely at home with the Lord. I want to ask you a question. Think about your perspective. How are you looking at this? How are you looking at the way you live your life? How are you looking at the way you go through every day of your life? How are you looking at the way you're going to end your life? What happens when life is over? What's your perspective? There's a song that Randy Fox used to sing. He says, "I'd rather be on the inside looking out than to be on the outside looking in." He was referencing Noah's Ark. He said, "I'd rather be on the inside looking out than to be on the outside looking in." Those on the inside were saved, they were sealed, and they were secure. Those on the outside were dying, and they did not have any hope. Which perspective do you have this morning? While we stand together and while we sing.